This is the Night Owls Disc Golf Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm JP.
And I'm Ben.
All right, we're all back together. The Three Amigos Musketeers. Do you remember Three Amigos, Ben? Were you old enough to know the Three Amigos?
I was not alive for when it was initially released, but I have seen it, so I am familiar.
Okay. You know their little like introductory dance where they're like boo boo and they hit their hips and thrust?
Yes, I know. Okay, I know it, do I know the choreography? No, I do not remember the choreography.
It's almost okay. Like the Macarena.
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little more. Well, no, not even really. A little more provocative. But when Steve Martin does it, I mean, puts it on another level. So it was Steve Martin, Martin Short, and
Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase. There it is. So ultimately stupid, great humor, mindless, fantastic movie, in my humble opinion. So with that being said, we're all back together. I don't have a drink, so my mouth is dry, and just had to leave that out there. And you can find all these fantastic and fascinating little tidbits on door_disc_golf or night_owl_pod or doordisc.com and buy all your disc golf needs. So with that being said, we will, and I'm going to say this right now, and we might live up to this, probably be a pretty short episode. So not much happening in the disc golf world. There's a couple things that happened here and there, and there's some player movement speculation and even some stuff about Emerson Keith, which Ben did not put this cat out or in the bag, out of the bag, whatever bag it is, around the bag. You were not involved in this one.
So, no.
Rumors are that he's leaving Lone Star. And what was the other one that we were talking about? DGA? Allie Smith is leaving DGA. And it kind of sounds pretty sure that that's going to happen.
Yeah, she had an Instagram post saying that she for sure will not be sponsored by DGA in 2024.
That's exciting. I can't wait for Eagle to announce he's leaving Discmania. It's going to be fantastic news.
I do want to discuss Discmania and what these stones are. So once we get into that, JP knows is more on the up and up about Discmania as far as like the releases and things than I am. So I'm curious about what this new marketing venture is for them, because last year we had the space crew? The flight crew, yeah. And then this year we have like this Indiana Jones like.
Yeah.
Stone type deal. So we can get into that once we get to it. But
it doesn't matter what they do, they're not touching West Side. It's fantastic. I still think West Side's marketing was phenomenal. One of the best commercials I've ever seen for disc golf. 4 more years. So with that being said, every year Thanksgiving comes. And we fill our gullets way fuller than we should. And then fill them some more. Probably watch some football. What are some of the rituals during Thanksgiving that you look forward to the most?
Sleeping. I always eat and then sleep. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the parade's always a big one. I mean, it's, you can never go wrong with it because it just kind of sets the tone for the day. And it's, even if you're cooking or you're doing other things, it's not in the background and you catch glimpses of things here and there. So like, the parade's always a classic. You can never go.
Is it still called the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Okay. Is Macy's still a thing?
Yeah. There's one in Appleton.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's one of the anchors of that mall.
Okay. I haven't been in one forever. I feel like that's what was in Green Bay and they ousted, didn't they? Where the furniture store is now?
That was a Yonkers.
Oh, okay.
Or Boston store, depending on what part of the country you're from.
I'd see. Consider me educated. I had no clue they were related.
Prangies, Boston store, and Yonkers are all part of the conglomerate that was that company.
Good to know. Well, I guess not good to know because it doesn't matter anymore. But so, all right. So now, what are the things that you look forward to the least or during Thanksgiving? And mine's just the food. So, and I will state that today I picked up my Popeye's Cajun turkey.
Oh, you bought one?
I got one.
Huh.
Nice.
So we were at Popeye's and we're sitting there eating, my daughter and I. And we're sitting here eating and we're sitting right next to the banner that says local. And I was like, Cajun turkey? So I walk up and ask them. They're like, yeah, we have Cajun turkeys. They're frozen. And I was like, well, how much are they? And I was like, $60. And I was like, oh my goodness. I was like, but man, I bet you that's really good. So I bought one.
Did yours come with the apron? Because I saw some people like on TikTok and on other social media that like got the, or they bought that, or they pre-ordered theirs. And then like they got a Popeye's apron with it.
No, I didn't get an apron. That's garbage. Oh. I wore one of those for like a year and a half because I worked there. But so I don't know if I necessarily need an apron. I used to have the fancy plastic ones too when I would dredge the chicken. That was awesome. Yeah, so I got that. So I'm looking forward to the Cajun turkey for sure. But we're going to do turkey and ribeyes this year. So that's going to be our choices. I'm sure there'll be vegetables and stuff there too, but I don't think that really matters.
Well, mashed potatoes, that's a vegetable. Oh, and those count.
That works, yep. And then you got your dairy in there as well. And I mean, it's all in the mashed potatoes. There's some vegetables like garlic that'll go in the mashed potatoes. So I think you got it covered there. So what's the thing you look forward to the least? And we don't need to worry. There's only like 300 people that listen to this. So.
Well, I can safely say that for the first time in 5 years, because of my job change, it will not be the fact that I have to work the next day. And then I have Black Friday off for the first time in 5 years. Cause like, that was like the worst part is that like you sleep in, you eat, you're a glutton. And then you're like, oh, gotta set the alarm again. Right.
Get back to it.
Yeah. So that was like, for me, the least favorite thing, but don't have to worry about it this year. So.
Nice. Nice. All right, JP, what about you, sir?
Sometimes it's the travel, especially if like I do have to work. I've always worked the day after Thanksgiving. I've never had off. So it's always like if we have to go somewhere, we have to rush back. But it seemed, I think this year, everybody's up here this year, so we don't have to travel, which is nice. Usually we have to like go to Green Bay or a little further. But this year we are sticking around here, which is awesome.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. Mine is always the dishes. It's always the cleanup because we traditionally, for the most part, we have it at our house because we have the largest communal space. And it's always just the cleanup afterwards. Like I love everything about just having people over, feeding them, you know, stories and watching football, doing all that stuff and people coming in and out. And but then you got the mess at the end of the day. And it's always, we just like, oh, let's go to sleep and then we'll take care of it the next day. Cause usually we stay up playing like cards all night or something like that, you know, until like 11 or 12 at night. And then we just don't want to do anything. And then the next morning is when we clean everything up. Obviously we put the food away, but
so here's
yeah, a, so here, that's kind of,
here's a pro tip for you. Just box up all your dishware, rinse it off, and then just take it down to Julie's and just use your industrial dishwasher.
3 minutes done.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea, actually. I can't say that we haven't done that before because we have.
Why haven't you ever had it? Have you ever had it at Julie's?
The whole meal and like, everything?
Yeah.
Well, there's no like couches to lay on and stuff.
Oh, well.
You know, like we've thought about it before.
But you have a ton of hotel rooms you could.
True. But they're usually about full.
Okay.
That's not a bad idea though. That would be, it'd be pretty easy. Cause I'm always like, okay, shuffling the oven. Cause we still have like a larger oven. It's like a 36. So it's like three burners and it's a little bit larger oven, but you're still like trying to shuffle stuff back and forth out of the oven. This year I'm simplifying quite a bit, but, yeah, normally you're fighting it, but there, like I got two full convection oven. Yeah, that would be a three full convection oven. So
my boss would always do that anytime like there was any big holiday thing, they would just have it at their restaurant because it was that much easier to like clean up. And like you don't have people at your house messing stuff up, you don't have to clean. You have it in like a neutral space, you don't have to worry too much.
You know, if I didn't like people, I would probably do that, like take them to the restaurant and be like, all right, see you later, because then there's no chance for them to stay. But don't know. I like having people over. It's fun. Oh, all right. Tournament planning season is upon us, folks. So what are the tournaments that you guys look forward to the most? And about tournament planning season, what's some of the stuff that you really, really enjoy seeing come out? And this will go into the Champions Cup talk. But I know locally, of course, you know, I have to, by the middle of December, I have to have everything to Mike, the state coordinator, so he can start planning for the year. Actually, it might be by the beginning of December. I can't remember what it said. So what's the things you look forward to the most about tournament season when everything starts coming out? I always enjoy watching where and who is taking over tournaments, but also just where they're going to be. Because I know there's a lot of change in tournaments as far as the locations that they're going to be. So I just love looking and seeing where tournaments are going to show up. And, you know, we talk about the Pro Tour. We already talked about the Pro Tour schedule and everything. But I like seeing the changes that are happening on the pro level as well. What courses are being added? What courses are being dropped? Because it kind of shows you the cycle of disc golf and the season that disc golf is in by seeing what courses are dropping. And you're getting to see what type of players and what players are saying. And depending on what the drama was from the past season, you get to see what courses are actually going to survive based on some of that stuff. Like, I'm really surprised OTB is still in it, but I would assume probably pretty soon that's going to be dropped off the tour as well. So it's like that type of stuff that I like to speculate and think about. And so,
yeah, it's surprising that there's actually still kind of a West Coast swing mm-hmm. on the Pro Tour for how few tournaments they actually go out West for. Even with like, even now with Vegas in between DDO and OTB, you still like, well, is it worth the trip?
Right. Just Oregon. I mean, Oregon has such amazing courses, mm-hmm. but it's been so long since they've been officially on the tour too, you know, because of some of the course disaster and then the 2020 and then 2021. And so,
yeah, I guess personally for tournaments, I mean, always the local tournaments like Springtime Open, Fall Classic, even though that's like way down the road. And then I always try to sign up for a big tournament in between, you know, during the season. Mm-hmm. And that usually falls through due to work and other things.
Yeah.
But, maybe, you know, try to hit some of the flex tiers actually this year if I have the chance as well, the mm-hmm. door disc flexes. But yeah, I don't know. It'd be fun to try to hit up some of like the state tour, even though I think that'd be pretty difficult to attend as well, the Wisconsin state tour.
Yeah, and there's not many close. I think the closest one is Rolling Ridge has one, I think, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Silver Cup.
Oh yeah,
Silver Cup. Yeah.
Silver Cup. Yeah.
Oh. What about you, Ben?
I think like on a local level, like as a state, like I think it's always interesting when like this stuff comes out to see who made the jump or put in the bid and then was approved for an A tier. So like mm-hmm. who's been kind of grinding it out, or events that have had some success that are willing to take the next step. It's pretty cool to see kind of how that comes out and then kind of what the changes are, because obviously with A tiers comes new responsibilities and new requirements. So just, I would say if like, that's always interesting just to kind of see as a state, like, okay, what's an A tier? Well, maybe what was an A tier in the past that's under new directions that can't fulfill an A tier, or vice versa, mm-hmm. or, you know, somebody might be taking over a tournament that has done A tiers in the past. So the PDGA is like, yep, this can be an A tier now. So, you know, just kind of those sorts of things are always interesting just to see those dynamics.
Right. Well, and what's the over under for Josh's tournament schedule? How many do you think he'll have? Is it like,
oh boy,
is it like, I don't know,
11 and a half?
It'll be more than that.
More than that.
5.5. I think he has a flex tier almost every weekend. I think, I don't know. I'll have to text him and see how many he's having, but I know, I bet you it's at least in the 30s. If I set the bar, if I set the line at like 32 and a half, what would you take?
I would hammer the over on that because I forgot about I forgot about the ones that he also just is like, ah, we got an open day and flex start Saturday.
Yep. Always like getting those emails like you have no idea, and then it's like, oh yeah, we're running this this weekend.
Yeah, that's funny. I actually just received a text from him too, so that's really funny. Yeah, it's funny because he does. I don't know how many sanctioned like regular shotgun start tournaments. He's in the teens with them. He has to be.
I would think
so. And then he's easily in the 30s. I bet 30 tournaments that he runs every single year. So, well, good for him. I'm glad to see it because it gives a lot of opportunities for a lot of people, and I feel like he does a pretty good job with them. So, all right. Well, those were my two big questions. So I think with that being said, we're going to talk about the tournament season on the pro level of the Champions Cup. So I have not seen any of this stuff because I was traveling all day. But if you guys want to talk about it, the Champions Cup, there's some movement happening, huh?
Yeah, I'll let JP go with this one because I know a little bit more than you, Shane, but not as much as I think JP does.
Okay.
Yeah. So this past week, actually Thursday, it was announced initially that the Champions Cup would be moving from W.R. Jackson, which they were hoping to get the tree cutting all taken care of in time. It's supposed to start it's supposed to like almost finish in November. Way behind. It hasn't even started. And due to those delays, they said Champions Cup is not going to happen here. Now, what happened is that the Champions Cup was initially rescheduled for June 27th through June 24th at Northwood Park, which would be Northwood's Black for Champions Cup. So these dates were selected. And it's kind of in between like the Midwest Swing of the Preserve and Des Moines and like some of those.
I think it's the week before Preserve.
Okay. That makes sense. And so news of this came out, and this also coincides with, I think it's the Swedish Open in Sweden, which a number of players were planning to travel to. And so they were kind of like, well, you made up this whole pro tour thing, you know, DGPT Pro Tour Europe. Now you're kind of making us decide, do we skip the pro tour and go to the major or not? And so they kind of heard PDGA kind of heard the grumblings of not just European players, but many players who are thinking about making the trip and are now going to reschedule again. Which is kind of crazy to think about, but also that since the news was announced last year, playing Northwoods Black, that takes it out of the running for use at Ledgestone 2024.
Really?
And so yes, because the course is not allowed to host a major or an elite series event in the same year. So Northwoods Black will be out of the question, and Sunset and Eureka will be the two courses being played during Ledgestone.
Wow. So the one thing that I have to say is that disc golf is growing. And these are some of the hiccups or I guess hurdles that they have to get over. But every time the professional squad cries does not mean you have to change something. I think at this point, with so many different stops on the pro tour and now adding the European swing, just going to have to choose, like make a choice, and you can either go for pretty big money over here, or you can run for the Pro Tour points to get in to win the largest prize that we have in disc golf. And I think that's just the choices they're going to have to make. I think this idea that just because every time pros cry about something, it has to be changed immediately and we have to like bend over backwards. I think there is a certain level of that that has to happen, but not like this. I mean, this is the third time they've changed it, and now it's influencing Pro Tour, future Pro Tour events at those parks, you know? So, man, it just seems like they're shooting themselves in the foot, I guess.
Yeah.
By doing this, because now that expectation is set.
Yeah, I think it's... I don't know. I could see them working out a deal in that we could see Northwoods on with Ledgestone because of just like... The biggest thing with Ledgestone is that you need Northwoods Park to be in the mix because of the AMs of Ledgestone. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to put somebody like me, an MA2, MA3 player, to go play Northwoods Black, like, mm-hmm. for Ledgestone Open. So like I could see the Pro Tour being like, this is a one-time thing for this reason, and then they'll just call it like this is an emergency situation, right, where this is the how we'll flex the rule. As far as the date goes, I agree with you, Shane. Like, it's just one of those things where eventually I think the Pro Tour or just the pro players in general will need to just kind of figure out what they want to do. And like, you're not going to miss a major, of course. Like when we look at ball golf, like, no one's missing majors if you qualify for a major. Right. Mm-hmm. I think that this is the outcry was really started, or like the reason why the PDGA was like, Kristen Starr had, I think, mentioned it, or I saw something that Kristen's like, well, if this is the case, I'm not coming. Like, Kristen's
right.
And they were like, no, we got to figure this out. We can't have Kristen, who just won a Grand Slam and the defending champion, not playing in this event. That's my take on that. Yeah. And then looking at other dates of like what's available, it would really suck, but I could see if it's in between DDO and OTB, them saying, okay, Champions Cup's now going to be the weekend of Vegas. And then you could just frustrate Jeff Jacquois to no end.
Well, and why not? I mean, it's not a Pro Tour. It's just an ATP
yeah.
at this point.
No, it is. So you're right.
You're not competing with anything. So, yeah, you're going to steal the few people. So you might not see Nate Sexton there. But he might even skip for that major. You know, I mean, yeah, there's a lot better places it could be put. But in the same regard, it's still that... Like, put your schedule out there far enough so then players can make a educated decision on how they want to attack the season and what they're going for and what's going to it's they got to strategize. And I think that's going to be part of the game at this point. Now, if you want to be competitive in certain things and you need certain amount of points, that's part of the strategy now. I mean, if they're going to keep growing it and keep adding it and keep putting different things, and they want to add a Mexico in there as well, and they want to start, you know, they're going to start adding other regions. It's just the nature of the beast. That's what's going to happen. They're going to start overlapping, and they're just going to have to choose where they want to go. There's going to be strategy and what they want to accomplish.
It's almost like life gets in the way, right?
Isn't that weird? I know.
Yeah, isn't it a crazy concept? Yeah. Kristen wasn't the only one. I think like Nicholas Antila like put out a post too, saying like, I don't know what to choose, you know, between staying, you know, in Europe and going and, you know, competing in America for a major. It was like, well, if you really want to try to win a major and like it's your first major, you probably want to be here for that, you know?
Right.
Like, I don't know. It's just kind of, but it's like anything, you know, like, you'd have to have the good or the bad, or you have to have this decision affects that decision. And it's like, well, you just can't have both, especially since considering how far away the other event is that you want to go to. And, you know, and I guess the other factor is, you know, travel costs for these people. If they are like coming this way or if they're on break or whatever, who knows? But I guess too, like Discmania has been, I thought they were the Champions Cup sponsor, so I would feel like Antilla would have like a sponsorship obligation to be here to compete, mm-hmm. Along with, you know, anybody else, some other people. But, you know, if they do decide to move it again, good for them. Like, it's still early enough in the season that, yes, maybe not everybody has their full schedule, like, completely thought out, but it's not going to break your back in terms of anything. If anything, if you're going to play a Champions Cup and then head over to OTV, like we had discussed, like, if that does take place during that Vegas, you know, A-tier weekend, it's just a little bit longer to get there afterwards, mm-hmm. you know, but mm-hmm. whatever.
I think it's also important to mention that this is, in theory, a one-time thing, right? Yes, so you just got to make up your mind for this, you know, this one tournament, this one year mm-hmm. of figuring it out, and then you really need to value. Because if you're a professional and you're honest with yourself, like, where do you have the greatest opportunity for success? Do you think that you can cash and be in a top 25 at a major and take home some really nice prize points? Or are you more focused on getting your pro tour points to keep your card for 2025 and to get into the tournament? So I think mm-hmm. that's really what it comes down to, is you need people just remember that it's 1 year, and then figure out what matters the most to you in being honest with yourself in your situation.
Right. And ultimately there's 20 plus events that you can earn points for you to keep your tour card.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot of opportunity out there. You know, I think where my slight bit of my astonishment comes from, maybe is the best word for it, is if you go back, let's say 2016, you know, there's always been issue with touring, but let's say 2016 was when, you know, started to have the conversation, like, why are we going to California and then going all the way to Maryland and then going all the way? And they started talking about, like, hey, if you're planning this tour when the pro tour started, you should make sure to get these things in order. So Steve Dodge says, all right, let's do this. We're going to make sure that as efficient as we possibly can, we're going to move you from state to state. And we're going to try to correlate with and at that time, it was the NTs and the majors that they were dealing with. So ultimately they did that. And that was after a bunch of, like, crying, this is too hard, my tournament's ruined, you kicked my tournament off, you did all these things. So between the TDs and the players, and that happened over the course of quite a few years. And then now we're to the point where, you know, the pro tour basically has a grasp on the tournament scene, the professional tournament scene, aside from these handful of few things. So now we have these two silos that are fighting against each other, and they don't seem to communicate, even though they're the only two professional organizations in disc golf. And one of them has to get sanctioned through the other one. So it's not like they didn't know where these things are. It's just this lack of competency, it almost seems like. Like, these things can be avoided. You know, you have the Pro Tour Europe now. You know that these tours are sanctioned. You know that all these things are happening. Like, how can you not see it? But then again, I guess PDGA USA is not the governing body of, ultimately is not the, no, because it's still PDGA Europe, right?
Yeah. I mean, in the Disc Golfer magazine, like, they have all the contacts for all the people in Europe as well. So it's all under.
Mm-hmm. So it's all under the same umbrella. So yeah, so it's a competency issue is what it seems like.
Or if they just don't have a weird worldview of things is what the problem is.
I mean, you can just pinpoint that to many other things with the PDGA, of like so many other things, not just the schedule. So it's just, I don't know what the answer is as far as this goes, because no matter what, somebody's going to be frustrated, right? Like, it's
right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I, on the other side, like JP said, or it was Ben or Jay, I don't remember who said it, but there's enough time. Like, if you can get it changed, try to make everybody happy, but you're going to piss somebody off. And if you move it to Vegas weekend, like, that's a pretty big event. And I'm pretty sure that there's a few people that are sponsors, or it's obligated by sponsorship to be there, because that is one of Innova's biggest events outside of, you know, their large ones. But I mean, you're going to miss out on some of those people and they're going to miss, but it is what it is. You know, that's just stuff that's growing pains and that's what they're going to have to deal with. So I don't know. I don't have much else to say or complain about.
There's just a tight, I'll say the last thing is that there are very select and tight windows as far as like where this event could take place. Cause it's a major. So it's a minimum of 4 mm-hmm. rounds. So right. There's not a whole lot of, weekends available to get it done. Mm-hmm. So
well, and usually the tournament that happens right before that, the weekend before that, there's a smattering of pros, but for the most part everybody's at the major practicing up. So it's going to affect two tournaments, and just decide which two tournaments is going to affect the least, or which two tournaments are going to affect. I mean, that's basically what it's going to be, because you're going to have to cover one up, and then the one right before that is going to be overshadowed by it. So all right. Well, but good job. I'm glad we have 20 plus tournaments to watch and the 4 majors. And so I think it's going to, I don't know. It's just a lot of disc golf that's out there now. So, all right. Well, I think we're actually at it. At 30 minutes in, Ben, you get to ask your random question.
Oh, did we do player movement? Kind of briefly mentioned it.
Yeah, we just briefly talked about it. But you have anything else we want to talk about before that then?
Just the stones, just those, this mini mystery box and like the stones in this marketing. So I don't really know a whole lot about it other than it's very similar in terms of a marketing plan and a structure to the Flight Crew. I've seen pictures and images of some of these discs that's like the Cloud Stone or the Rain Stone or something, right? It's like very Indiana Jones-esque, and I've seen like this black and white sepia toned photo of Eagle. I just want somebody, if you have any insight on what this is, JP, to enlighten me. I know that they're dropping these things in these in the mystery boxes. Just looking for anything. Like, is this just a cloud breaker with a stamp? What do you got?
Okay, so basically it's Discmania, like the picture of the
Lost Stone.
There's what's the movie? Romancing of the Stone. Is that a movie with Michael Douglas and Catherine? But there's like two movies. I forgot what the two movies are. Anyway, yeah. So they got some like European actor or something to act kind of as this Indiana Jones adventure seeking type of guy. And there was clues thrown out along with the launch of the like mystery box season. And so there's these are the stones so far: Cloudstone, Cosmic Stone, Dark Stone, Doomstone, Mind Stone, Night Stone, Phenom Stone, Rage Stone, Shadow Stone, and Thunderstone. And then there's, so these clues were, there are clues to all these different stones or discs hidden throughout the world, pretty much. Like, there's actual discs placed in different locations based upon these postcards that were supposedly online and like thrown out into the world through Discmania. A couple of the discs could be found online in like the European store, the US store. And then there's actually discs out at physical locations in, so hold on, I was just on Discmania's website before. Okay, so far, discs have been found at Ultra Disc Golf Park, My Local MacGyver, The Canyons, Central Park in New York City, Yarva, Tilst Bipark, I have no idea, Rousselheim. and so like all these stones were found, and then there's a thread on these stones are lost stones are actually hidden around the world for you to find, and yeah, so there's pictures and clues, and then yeah, La Mirada had one, and so there's a thread going right now. Cosmic Stone is Sea Line Logic. Crown Stone is a Sea Line Flex One Tactic, which I think a lot of people will be excited about. Dark Stone, Sea Line Instinct. Doomstone, Sea Line Flex One PD3 or FD3. Mind Stone, Lux Vapor DD. Night Stone, Neo FD. Phenom Stone Neopedi, Rage Stone Lux, Vapor FD1, Shadowstone Celine Method, and Thunderstone is a Neo DD3. So we're getting a lot of the, like, what is it? Evolution disc, like evolution plastic made with some of these Discmania, like the originals mold now. And there's still, like, you know, some of these newer molds too that were available, like, through the House of Discs and everything plastic. But kind of a neat way to have their first mystery box be part of that conglomeration now. Because this will be the first time a lot of those discs are available in the plastic. So don't know if... I'm assuming you'll get like one or two of these discs along with other stuff in the box, or maybe you get all of them in the box. Like, I have no idea, but it's kind of cool.
So I was just reading what the Red Edition box. So the Red Edition USA version will have, well, at least 150% of the value of your money. Mm-hmm. One all new originals mold, never before seen or released. Seven other discs, including special stamps, brand new molds, classic, special edition disc, unique stamps, and three others. So the eight discs included in each Discmania Red box, three guaranteed stones in premium plastic of the seven worldwide. One of the three stones is a featured disc, an all new original mold included in all mystery boxes. One premium plastic first run signature series or creator series disc. Okay. Two stock discs, one premium, one base. And then two misprints or X-outs. One will be premium, one will be base.
Yeah, and I heard this year as well that there will be no baseline of the active line discs. I don't think there's going to be any active line discs in the boxes whatsoever. And then there's a rumor, or I think what I have heard is that possibly the P3X will be making could be a mystery disc in the box as well.
Okay.
So... who knows? Because I think, was it the mystery? Yeah, the P3X and I think the PD2 are currently in, like, starting to be in production, and then will be out sometime next year. So maybe they're ramping up production of one of those two to be part of the mystery box.
So what I'll say is that I thought the Flight Crew last year was kind of a flop, and that it was nothing super cool. And it was, you know, the DD1 with it was Halo, right? Like, that's not like anything. That's not new. Like, every company's got that. I think now that they're into the House of Discs and the marketing behind this, still, I mean, say what you want. Like, could be, it's a little corny, but it's still fun. Like, it's not like anything, you know, super intense. But with this, and then, like, I don't want to call it outcry, but like, over the last few years, or a couple of years, I should say, like, people's mystery boxes have been like, there's been some duds. Of like mystery boxes, a lot of baseline, a lot of factory seconds, not a lot of, you know, uniqueness to it. Like, you get like the one guaranteed thing, and then like it's just like whatever. I feel like there's kind of with this, just based on what you guys described and talked about, like there seems to be like this resurgence around like actually giving people like some really good value. Because like technically, like the MSRP, like on what these people are getting, like the 150% back on like some of these boxes. Like, that's true, but like a lot of the people that I saw like last year's mystery boxes were getting like two or three baseline discs. And you're like, this is not what I wanted.
Well, yeah, like every, I think I forgot, I might have bought like two mystery boxes last year. Each of them had a, you know, a glow active line disc. It was like a glow magician or a glow, something, you know. And then I might have gotten like a base, everyone I had to also had a sensei in it, but it was like a different stamp. It was like a pirate stamp or something. But yeah, I wasn't going to buy one. I don't know if I will or not, but it's kind of fun to. And then I remember too, last year when the mystery boxes, they gave you a sheet or like a fold out pamphlet. And it was like every disc in it had a certain rarity. It was like, oh, there's the Color Glow FD when it came out. And that was like, you know, 4 out of 5 or 3 out of 5 or whatever, you know, each disc had a certain rarity, which was kind of cool to see. And then I traded with Scott Halverson. I forgot what I traded him. I got the Color Glow FD, but maybe I traded him an Enigma or something. I don't remember what it was, but it was like, you know, two situations where they, you know, a unique disc. But I will say, beyond the Eagle McMahon photo that they used, it's curious that Discmania isn't using their stars more for promotion of these boxes. Like, mm-hmm. I've seen posts on Instagram of, I think, Gavin Babcock, I think even Colton might have like said, oh man, this box is really good, people are gonna really like it, whatever. But that's it. Like, that's all you hear. Like, that's the only hype I've heard from anybody, really. And then I haven't seen, didn't they do like a video or something last year with the you know, to hype up this with, like, it was like with the team or whatever, not like the, not the actual like pro team, but like the team of like the people endorsing it. Like, I don't know, it seemed like there was something bigger.
Here's a conspiracy theory. Now that they're in the House of Dis, everybody's contracts expired and they have to redo contracts. So everybody's saying, I'm not promoting anything until I have a contract in my hand. That's a conspiracy theory.
I don't mind that conspiracy theory.
That's a pretty good theory.
Yeah, I don't mind that one. Oh, man. It is. They do so well with their quirky advertisements. Last year, I agree with you, was a flop. This year, we'll see. You know, I think the treasure hunts and all that stuff, I think that's pretty cool. But once the mystery box comes out, is it just going to die again like the flight team or whatever, mm-hmm. flight deck or whatever it was?
Well, and they had mystery boxes sitting on their website. Like, usually they would sell out. And like last year, they did not sell out right away. It was like, no. You had to wait, and all of a sudden they're like just sitting.
Didn't they offer them? I think they offered them as wholesale as well. You could bring in some of the mystery box. You could bring in some of the mystery boxes to your store.
I don't know.
I thought they did for some reason, but maybe that was someone else where they let one out and then you could buy them afterwards after they released them. And
well, I feel like they also released a lot of the discs that were in the mystery box, like some of the newer molds and plastics. They released them really kind of rapidly after the release of the mystery box. Like, usually you had to wait a while to get them, but there's like, nope, we're just gonna like open the boxes and like send them out. You know, yeah, that kind of situation.
Yeah. I think he had a lot of lawyer fees to pay for, I bet.
Yeah, that could be.
So, all right, Ben, let's get into that random question.
All right. What is one thing as an adult that you get excited about that when you were a child, you would just be confused about? And like for me, and I'll give you my example. My example of this is I put new wiper blades on my car. And it's great. And it's just like, I was like, this is, never thought I'd be this excited being 12 years old to have like functional wiper blades and taking care of the frost in the morning now that it's cold.
There is something satisfying about that, Ben. I'm not going to lie. You get those like just little streaks in your windshield wipers. And then you're like, you get the new ones and there's that one bug that's been there for like a month. And then you give a little spray and it goes away and you're like, best thing ever. I agree with you. That's a good question. Wet wipes in the glove box. I know that sounds really stupid, but I hate it when a new thing, wet wipes in the glove box, just gives me so much like, or the center console just gives me so much like, I'll think about one that's a little better, but I think that's one of my big ones. Like when I get it, and because I know then the kids are going to be clean, then I'm going to be clean, and then any of these messes that are everywhere in the car, they'll be clean. What do you think, JP?
Getting new tires is a good one. Like anything like car related right now is like, yes, I don't have to worry about that for a while. As a kid, you have no idea like the expense or the costs of like how much car repair is. Uh-huh. But there's just a sense of relief of like, yes, there's something reliable going on here that like I'm not gonna have to worry about this for a while. Or even like getting your car washed. Getting your car washed is super satisfying sometimes. Yeah. Like as a kid, it's fun to go through, Or you can be like my kids that hated absolutely going through the car wash because it was so loud and like they didn't understand that. Like, yeah, when Dempsey was a baby and when Lulu was a baby, I took them through and they wailed going through the car wash. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like, yeah. I think all those things are good. I think tools are probably the one thing that I would say out of anything. It's just tools. I never understood why men
or like a clean garage. Tools.
Oh my god,
organized garage.
So literally will stress me out so much. Like when I get super stressed, I get kind of sores in my mouth and stuff. I will get so stressed out about my garage being dirty because I know I have projects coming up that that's just one more thing I have to do that it'll like give me cold sores. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So there you go. New tools.
I was going to say the same thing about along the lines of tools, but just like yard equipment. Like, like I bought a new rake this year. Things that if I would have told my 12-year-old self, like this is the stuff I'm getting excited about. Like, you'd be like, you're a loser. Uh-huh. And then you buy a house and it's like, oh no, this is awesome. Yeah.
I got a shovel. I got the pointy one and the flat one. I'm pretty excited. They were on sale. Buy one, get one half off. No, I agree. I love yard equipment. Like the Milwaukee Red. Like anytime I see something that I don't have, I'm always like, oh, wonder how much that is. And it's always like $1,000, however much. I mean, everything's like $200 minimum. But I always love drooling over some of the yard equipment stuff, like the little chainsaw and stuff, like throw a battery in it and go cut stuff. Man, it would be awesome. Just go out in the yard, just start cutting trees down.
Here's your pro tip. The best disc golf marker for marking your discs is a Milwaukee permanent marker.
Mm-hmm. The ink saw.
Yep. The black. Yep. Yep. It doesn't fade. Doesn't smudge.
Dude, they're so good. They're so good. So, see, yeah, these are dad problems right here, man. All right. Well, anything else? All right, shop updates. So, we got some exciting stuff happening. So, last week, I told you guys that it was 20% off. Believe it or not, that is not true. I lied to you. It is 30% off the entire shop.
Whoa.
In store on Friday, you can get absolutely everything we have in the store 30% off, except for the fixtures, and you can't buy Kevin either. Those are the two things. But outside of that, all disc golf equipment is 30% off. Online, it will also all be 30% off. There are some exclusions online because of shipping, so we won't do any carts and we won't do any of our bags, so any of the larger stuff or baskets. So those are the three things: carts, bags, or baskets. And then there are some exclusionary through, and this is both for online and in store. There are some exclusionaries through manufacturers that we cannot sell things cheaper than what they have told us we can sell them for. So those ones will have to stay where it's at. And those include the new time lapses and the new wild double steady honeys, wild honeys, and then the mystery boxes. So that's that. But with that being said, we have the time lapses that will be going live on Black Friday. We also have the mystery boxes, and then the double steady honeys, wild honeys, will be coming out on will be going live on December 1st. Unfortunately, those won't be part of it, but that's all part of the shop updates. So, and I don't think I missed anything. So,
what time can I start camping out outside the store?
Well, we open at 11 o'clock. So we'll be open from 11 to 5. I'll say 5.
New store hours.
See you at 3 a.m.
3 a.m. Start camping. Yep. And there is like a little bushy area out back where you can actually put up a camp, like if you want to. So
yeah, I know. Matt, the part that made Matt Yates around. Made me walk. Yeah.
So, yep, those are our shop updates. So got some good stuff coming up. So spend a lot of money. You know, bolster the economy and then bolster door disc golf. And I think outside of that, look forward to our tournament schedule because I will have everything posted. I still got to talk to a couple people to finalize some dates, but we should have our tournament schedule posted here pretty soon. And I'm going to try to get that up on the website this year, so you can actually just have links to go straight to it. But if not in the shop, we will have our QR codes like we did this past year. All right, JP, Ben, anything else, anything inspirational or words to live by?
Enjoy your turkey on Thanksgiving or whatever you eat. Tofurkey. Mm-hmm. If you're vegetarian.
How about the turducken?
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Sad, like Madden doesn't do that.
Oh.
Calories don't count on Thursday. That's just science.
That's what I hear. I always end up larger, but I'm fine with that. So, what are you guys thankful for before we get off here? Not that much, huh?
I mean, outside of just the obvious, I'm thankful to be in a decent spot. This year's been very rocky, not a great one, but kind of pulling myself out of that. So thankful I'm still around. Thankful I'm still got my people around me. So
very nice.
I thought you said, what do you think? I was like, what? I was like confused for a moment. Thankful. Got it. Yes. Mm-hmm. Any day above ground is a good day. So thankful for that. And of course, family. Always thankful for family. Thankful for our listeners, to those listening to the podcast. And just, yeah, surviving. Keeping on. That's the name of the game nowadays. We're pretty fortunate to be where we're at. There's a lot of people out in the world right now that are a lot less fortunate than where we are.
That's true. So I will kind of piggyback off that. I'm just thankful for the blessings that I've been given in my life and the people around me that help me get through every day with a smile, or even not with a smile, but just glad for the people that are around me. And I am also glad that disc golf has given us what it has given us, that I get to see your beautiful faces as much as I get to, and then all of our listeners. So with all of that being said, is there anything else before I leave on inspirational words that JP has left us? No, I think that's it. So remember, after all that turkey and stuffing, keep the deuces in the toilet. Peace out. Hey, I had to add a little bit to it. It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.